Today's news. Yesterday, it is I, not quite live and not quite the other side of the... What is going... I start... You've been open for how long? And all of a sudden, these plugin tabs start opening up on my... George, I want you to write a letter to Mozilla, and I want you to tell them to stop making these website tabs pop up just because Mozilla decides to randomly install a plugin update. Where's the common sense? See, now that's why you should install GNOME. Get Ubuntu GNOME. It's totally free, and it comes with the free Epiphany web browser that won't do this kind of stuff. Why am I using Firefox? I use Epiphany, the GNOME browser. No, Microsoft's native browser is always bad. Whenever you get Windows and it's got the browser that comes, that's going to be the problem. But the browser on the Android phone is good. Yeah, it's a special browser on the Android. Why is the Android? George, the Android browser is good. The native one is good because it's Linux. Ubuntu is Linux. That's why you should get the native GNOME browser on Ubuntu GNOME, which is also Linux. Now, the audience knows that... Oh, the people in Big Rapids need to hear me say it. Sorry, folks. Although he's new, George pointed out something very interesting. If I don't tell the people in Big Rapids this, they'll think that none of the rest of you know it. So they have to hear me say what they already know that they think nobody else is smart enough to figure out, or studious enough, perhaps, to figure out, or lucky. There are some luck believers in there, some luckers, some luckists who think that we have knowledge from luck. But so here it comes. Ubuntu and Android are cousins because they're both built on Linux. They're both Linux. Okay, there. I told and make the Big Rapids people happy. They want to hear me explain everything. So why? No, I know that Android has a native browser that's good and GNOME has. So why am I using Firefox? Okay. I'm using Firefox because of all the plugins. I need those plugins. I know the plugins irritate me, but I still need them. To talk about present company, for example. No podcast would ever be good without a podcast observer. I mean, don't you know that the things we need most are the most annoying? You know, that's one of the things, is the goose that lays the golden eggs. See, the story that they never told you about the goose that laid the golden eggs on the farm is that he was a nuisance. See, the farmer got greedy and decided to cut out all the eggs, right? You know, the goose would lay the golden eggs, and every day the farmer would come out and there'd be a golden egg, and the farmer got greedy and wanted more. Well, that was the cover story. The farmer only said that he killed the goose because he was greedy for the golden eggs. The real reason that the farmer cut the goose open is because the goose was annoying. I mean, he had knee problems because of all the extra weight for whatever reason he had was carrying around with, For whatever reason, the goose, she, who was laying these golden eggs, had extra weight for whatever reason. And so she had knee problems and she had to go to the vet often. And she had a particular diet that was weird and she didn't get along with the other geese. And so, you know, she wasn't a team player. And she didn't work very well with others. And, you know, she couldn't submit to authority. That's why they got rid. The annoying things in life are the things that we need. There we go. And when something annoys you too much and you finally get rid of it, soon you'll have to write a cover story to say that the reason you got rid of your goose that laid the golden eggs was because you got greedy and wanted them all at once. So I guess patience. No, I mean, it's true, isn't it? I've been learning that this week. I've had to deal with a number of conflicts, and I'm going to get to this more specifically in the point. So I'm going to set up the pitch for this. See, all my life, I've grown up the different one. I've grown up the goose that laid the golden eggs, and I'd get attacked by all of the people who like to have all their, well, as the saying goes, to have their geese in a row. I didn't fit. They'd try to have their ducks in a row, and I was the ugly one among the ducklings. And I've seen this, and eventually I developed a complex where I was afraid of people attacking me for no reason, because people have always attacked me for no reason. And as I've been growing up and coming to realize what buffoons I was surrounded with in my childhood in leadership positions, I was surrounded by brilliant, amazing, good people also. I was surrounded by a mix of both. I'd say it was about half and half. Of course, the good people would probably say that the bad people were the majority. But that's another. Well, why is it that bad people always end up in charge? It's because they're greedy enough. Good people mind their own business. That's something to remember. So, you know, as I've been growing up, dealing with my baggage, coming to realize that the reason that I was being attacked isn't really a reason, I've come to see how so many of us are paranoid of the same things. I mean, look at what happened in New York. We had this, you know, like 29 people were hurt in the subway. I don't think anybody died. I don't want to whitewash it. But I mean, come on, 29 injured people is not something that hate groups across the world would be shouting victory over unless that group is very, very petty. I mean, did we celebrate how people in other countries died or were injured? I mean, do we people say America is this evil, horrible country. When we see anyone in another country injured, do we celebrate? Oh, they got injured. Oh, yay. Oh, do we do that? Where do people come off thinking that we're some bad country that needs to apologize for anything? Yet, here we have people in this, in ISIS or whatever, they're all excited and happy about 29 people just being hurt. I mean, from the perspective of hate, they're very, that's hate. That's a very hate-filled part of the world. How do you grow up and even get there on accident unless you're surrounded by a religion that says to hate your enemies on every page of the Holy Book? And people say that it's not a religion of hate. It's a religion of hate. Their God hates their enemies. But even from the perspective of war, celebrating over 29 people when no one was killed, if that's really your enemy, that's not a victory. We in America, or the whole West, our enemies are petty. Small, petty people. We don't need to be all that angry. Not with them. And not with each other. Our enemies just aren't that big, you see? So I'll get to the point. Problems are rarely as big as they seem. The term blessing in disguise doesn't do justice most of the time. The better the disguise, the bigger the blessing. Shell-shocked wartime veterans never fully get past the hidden enemies of the past. Maybe it's time history not repeat itself. Anyone can be new. Memories of enemies are always bigger than enemies themselves. Headlines of war always sell better than headlines of peace. Those little setbacks we run into along the way are oftentimes shortcuts to the very victories we seek. With everyone being in such a hurry, don't hate the shortcuts. That's the point. I'm Jesse Steele, jessesteele.com.